All right. Good, good, good. It's a little taste of what the trip is like and some good memories there. Seeing some faces from our trip last 2 years ago in 2017. So if you're interested, please do let us know. There's info on the website about it. I'm excited for this morning's message. We're going to jump right into our Psalm series, part 5. And today, I've titled this message Selah, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. Selah is a really interesting and powerful word. There's a number of places in Scripture where you have a word that's not translated into English because it's so rich and meaningful that it's almost impossible to translate it. I think Alleluia is one of those words. We know what it means, but it's just incredibly powerful to think about the meaning of the word Alleluia. But Selah is one of those. My friend Ray Hughes, who we think is going to come be with us in 2019. Ray is just an amazing guy. I think he found 42 different translations, 42 different meanings of the word Selah. He's done like a 85-part series on it or something. It's amazing. He's a guy he's a historian. He's very much into prophetic worship, and it's just a very, very rich word. So we're going to get there. But before we do, I want to just take us through a little bit of a journey in talking about the Psalms of Ascent this morning. And I want to ask you for a second, how many of you like road trips? Maybe you've got one coming up. How many of you like road trips the whole time you're on them? I think I look back on road trips and they're almost always awesome memories. But sometimes, whether you're a kid or you're an adult, you have like the "Are We There Yet?" syndrome going on. But there's something about being all together in the car, something about seeing new places and new views and taking in new scenery. It's just amazing to be on a road trip. I remember we went to like 4 or 5 national parks with the kids maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And, you know, we're talking Salt Lake City and Yellowstone and Glacier National Park. I think we drove over 2,500 miles. It was an amazing trip. And I look back on that with nothing but good memories. But I remember like being a little saddle sore driving all those miles all that time and being a little stressed out sometimes. Where are we going to camp tonight? Did you realize that like national parks get pretty full in the summer? They're pretty full in the summer. And you can't always find a place. I remember going to Seattle one year. It was an amazing trip. But we drove up, and after Portland, it started snowing. And all we could do was like get in the wheel tracks of big rigs and go like 20 miles an hour the rest of the way from Portland to Seattle. And when we got to Seattle, it was crazy because there was like this power outage that started in Tacoma and went throughout all of the region. And people in Seattle, when it snows, I realized something about their driving. They simply just straight up ditched their cars. So they were like, it looked like the rapture happened. There were hundreds of cars just on the side of the road, and there's no light anywhere, and we're getting to Bainbridge Island where Rachel's sister lives, and you know we're arriving like at 3 in the morning. The only thing on the road is like these big caravans of utility trucks that are all chained up, and they're just like powering through in a single file line at like 3 in the morning. It seemed like apocalyptic or something. It seemed like some scene out of a sci-fi movie, and it was just a really crazy trip. We didn't have power in the house for a number of days. You've heard Rachel actually share an illustration about that. But we look back on that road trip, and it's nothing but like good memories. It's crazy how road trips in the moment sometimes are really challenging, but you look back with a lot of fondness. And I just think there's some great things about road trips. There's even songs about road trips. You know, one that comes to mind, I could probably say the first few words, and you could sing the song, "On the Road Again." You know, it's like, and road trips, it's like great to listen to good music on a road trip. You have playlists for that road trip. And the Psalms of Ascent in the Bible, they were specifically sung during annual road trips by the people of Israel. And they're known as the Psalms of Ascent between Psalm 120 and 134 because every place, wherever you are in Israel, Jerusalem is up. Jerusalem is up. So you're going up to Jerusalem, you're ascending, and you're on this journey. And there's 15 of these psalms altogether. The number 15 symbolizes rest, also restoration in the Bible. And the Psalms of Ascent were sung by pilgrims going up to Jerusalem to keep the feast of the Lord three times per year. The Lord said that three times a year, all of the men are going to come up, and a lot of times their families would go too, and they would come up to keep the feasts in Jerusalem. We're talking about Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles. Three times a year, wherever they were, they would make that trip, and it wasn't necessarily an easy trip. Do you remember when Jesus gets lost in the temple at 12 years old, or he's not lost, but his parents lost him, and they were there for the Passover. Jesus is 12, and they were in a big caravan, and when the caravan left to go back to Nazareth, they figured Jesus was among the group. That's kind of how our kids were on the Israel trip. They were like, there were like 30-something of us, and our kids were like among the group. Once in a while, we were like, where's our kids? But they were having a good time. We'll take better care of your kids than ours, I promise. No, I'm just kidding. Our kids were well taken care of. They were just having the time of their life. And as they're a day away going back home, they realized Jesus wasn't with the group, and they had to go back and find him. But Jesus, the bigger picture there I'm trying to get at is that Jesus went up to Jerusalem at the Feast of Passover to keep the feast, and they would have sung these songs along the way. And it's a beautiful picture also of the fellowship in the body of Christ, because when they would go up to Jerusalem, they would go together. They would be in the caravan. They would be in community. They would be there. That's part of what you remember about road trips, is the people that you were with and the journey that you were on, the shared experience that you had together. And Jesus later on would have gone up to Jerusalem. We know he did in the Gospels to keep the feasts, and he would go up with his disciples. And it's very likely that they sang these Psalms, Psalm 120 through 134. They sang these along the way. This was their playlist. This was their road trip songs. And they sang these going up to Jerusalem. You know, when you look at the story of Abraham, the first mention of worship in Scripture, in Genesis 22, we know that he and his son Isaac went up to worship, and it took them 3 days to get from where they were, I think in Beersheba, up to Jerusalem. And it was quite a journey, and it was up, and it was arduous, and it was, you know, climbing hills. If you go hike anywhere in Marin County, you're going to get to some hills, right? But how many of you know if you want to get a good view, you've got to go up some hills? Like, am I talking to anybody today? Any hikers out there? Any walkers, runners, bikers? You got to like climb that hill in order to get that view. In Israel, we go up the gondola to get a nice view. It's really nice. But for those that are really hardcore, maybe we'll organize a hike up Masada. It would be really fun to do that as well. So it's like a journey that lasted several days for them to Jerusalem, and it's just a reminder of that these Psalms of Ascent involve this movement to Jerusalem, this going up, this road trip. And as I was reading the Psalms of Ascent this week, because they were part of this week's reading plan, you know, I was looking at it through this perspective, through the perspective of those traveling several days through tough conditions to get to Jerusalem and singing these songs. So, you know, in Psalm 121, they were singing about protection. And what that means as they were singing about protection is that as they were singing that, they were trusting God to keep them safe in the middle of a difficult journey. We used to pray for traveling mercies. You guys remember that? Lord, give them traveling mercies. That's kind of what that is. They're like praying for protection in the middle of the difficult journey and trusting God. And that's what that song was about. As they'd be singing that, they'd be trusting him. And when they were singing Psalm 122 and they said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord, they were singing about their destination and the joy that was set before them as they went up to Jerusalem to get to the temple, to get to the house, to get to that place that they were longing to be. And even though they were crossing tough terrain, going uphill, maybe carrying a heavy load, his presence was the joy that was set before them. And it's a reminder to us that being in his presence, even for a moment, is worth every step of the journey. So these Psalms all identify with the spiritual journey that we're on. They identify with the we can identify with the sense of spiritual journey and the journey of faith. And, you know, we're being taken from the valley of weeping, as we know in Psalm 84, to the temple of the Lord. And I want to take you to Psalm 84. This is where we're going to be introduced to our key word today, Selah. You ever read a word in the Bible and you're like, Selah, and he's like, what? And you just like gloss over it, and you're like, I have no idea what that means, and I've seen it so many times, it starts to kind of disappear. Or maybe like when you're reading about so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so, you kind of just skim over those names. You're like, I'm never going to know any of those names. And you kind of skim over things in the Bible. I think the word Selah can be like that, and I want it to be a word that you don't skim over, and I don't skim over anymore because it's really rich for us. Check this out. This is this journey of going up to Jerusalem is referred to in Psalm 84. It says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Everyone say this next word with me. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Now, another translation says they treasure every step of the journey to Zion. And it's significant that these two verses, if you can leave them up there for a moment, they speak about both dwelling in God's house and also being on a journey. It's like a both and. And it's kind of like the tension of our faith that we are the house of God. We're connected to the house of God. And right now he's with us. And yet we're also on this journey of faith. And it's kind of captured in those verses. Now, faith is a journey. It's not always an easy one. The road can be rough. You might feel like you're in four-wheel drive sometimes. Faith can be like, you can feel like you're off-roading. You can feel like, man, has anybody been on this path in front of me? It seems like I'm alone here. And you're not, but it can feel like that at moments. And as we're looking at this and we're seeing these people that go up to Jerusalem and they're on this journey, and they're on this journey of faith, we get this inspiration, we get this motivation, we get this hope to be set on the journey, to have our hearts set on the pilgrimage, to never give up no matter what, to never quit, to never stop, to know that he's always with us, to never quit and stop, never give up on the Lord, because he's never going to give up on you. To say, Lord, I'm in, I'm all in, I'm going to follow you with all of my life. It's like, you know, this kind of commitment is contained in these verses. Now, it also says in Psalm 84, they go from strength to strength. And in these verses, this verse on the screen, it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. So what I want to show you about these verses is that God isn't just the destination. Like, you know, they're singing about meeting with God up in the temple. But he's not just the destination. He's with you on the journey. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So that's part of the tension that's here. It's both of these truths together. He's with me. And ultimately, you know, like they're singing about going to the temple. Ultimately, we're going to be face to face with him in heaven at the end of the journey. But like we're going to be with him forever, and he's with us now. Maybe you've heard the phrase, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Like people say that sometimes, especially if, I don't know, you're really anxious to get there and your kids are saying, are you there yet? And you're like, hey, have fun right now. Let's play the ABC game. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. It's about those moments together along the way. And it's like that with the Lord as well. It's really about both. And on this journey of faith, we need regular moments where we pause in his presence. And that's what I want to take a moment to talk to you about this morning. This word, this mysterious Hebrew word in Psalm 84, Selah, it's actually used 71 times in the Psalms and 3 in Habakkuk. It's used 74 times overall. And when we're looking at this word, we see that between dwelling in the house and also on the journey to get there, this word is like sandwiched in between. And that has a lot of meaning for us. Now, let me give you the two primary meanings of this word, Selah, today. First of all, a lot of researchers and scholars and people that speak Hebrew and whatnot, they note that it's like, it means an interlude. It's like a pause in the music. Okay? So, it could be a pause in the voices singing when the instruments perform alone, or it could be like the music stops and the voices continue, or it could just mean like another sort of break in the music, like a transitional moment in the music. So it's like a musical notation in one part of its meaning. So that's the musical meaning, but here's the personal meaning that is captured in the Passion Translation and in a lot of the thought of the word Selah. The personal meaning is this: pause in his presence. I want you to say that. Pause in his presence. Everyone say pause. Okay. So we need to pause on the journey. We need to pause in his presence. We need to learn to press pause. And I feel like that's one of the real big words for us today. It's like when you're really connecting to God's presence in a verse of Scripture, and like you feel like God's speaking to you, I want to encourage you, you know what? Pause right there. Let that just like soak into your heart. If we're having a moment in worship, corporately or individual, it's okay to stop. We don't have to be like, what's the next song? Hurry up. Let's get there. Ha, ha, ha. Sometimes it's like better to pause. More fruitful to pause, to camp there. Some of us are very accustomed to following a pretty tight calendar or schedule or working through a to-do list. And once you've completed an item, you're ready to rush on to the next item. And your goal is to like get through the list, get to the destination. And we can learn to rush from one thing to the next in an effort to be productive. And that can overflow into other areas of our lives and create this constant sense of striving. We could almost become addicted to busyness, addicted to always being stimulated by something, always have something going on or several things going on. And like, that is, if we don't have any place in our life where we pause, it's not going to be healthy for us. We can't just live off constant adrenaline. We can't just live off constant stress. We need to have a place where there is a Selah in our walk with the Lord. And, you know, as I mentioned, in John 15:5, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. It's talking about our need for connection and relationship and abiding with the Lord. And there's something about pause in his presence. There's something about Selah that reestablishes that abiding, that reestablishes that connection, that affirms it in our lives. So as we're talking about this word Selah, I want to just give you several points about this, of the meaning of it, the heart behind this word. Selah, first of all, is where we get the idea of soaking from. When you've been around the church for a while, you might hear people talk about soaking. And it's kind of a reference to like some music is playing that's soft, and I'm just going to take time to like soak in that and worship the Lord, and I'm not going to like just rush on. I'm going to soak. And then people were like, no, we got to take it to the next level. They started talking about, I need to like marinate. Then some people were like, no, next level. I've got a pickle. And people kept trying to outdo the word, but the idea is the same. I'm going to have this moment where I'm in his presence, and I'm just going to pause, and I'm going to be with God. Music or no music. In prayer, just with the Lord. You know, sometimes when we're with a close one, a loved one, and when I'm with Rachel, we don't necessarily, it's good to have conversation and communication, but we don't necessarily need to be talking the whole time. Sometimes you can just be with someone and enjoy their company. No agenda. It's interesting because in Mark 3:14, it says that Jesus appointed 12 that they might be with him. And we typically really rush on to the next part where that he could send them out to preach. But the first thing he wanted to do with these guys is have them be with him. There's something about this word Selah that it's just, I'm just going to pause and be with God. It carries that heart in it, Selah. The second thing, it's related to the truth of waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. How many of you like to wait? How many of you just love waiting? And I think a lot of times we look at this word in the Bible, wait, and it like triggers bad emotions in us. But we think of waiting as waiting in line. I'm waiting at a red light. I'm waiting for my turn. Or anything that requires some varying degree of patience, we think of waiting. And patience is a good thing. But in Scripture, the word wait primarily means to bind together. And it also has to do with expectation. I'm expecting good. I'm expecting God. I'm leaning into him. I'm hoping. And you see this word wait used in Psalm 27:14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The Passion Translation puts it this way. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. It captures that idea of being entwined with the Lord. That's what happens in a Selah moment. I'm connecting with the Lord. My heart is being entwined with his heart and connecting with his heart. And I look at that word waiting on the Lord, and it's like, you know, in a busy world that's full of distractions and activity and FOMO, fear of missing out, and like, all this stuff is going on. It's like we need the reset that happens through this word, Selah. There's so much health and there's so much life that comes in those moments of pausing in his presence. I remember Christine DeMarco's song. We've sung it here in church a few times, but it says, take courage, my heart, stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. Isaiah 40:31 says that, you know, those who wait, and that there's that word, it's to be entwined, to expect, to hope. Those who, it's like I'm waiting on the Lord, not for the Lord. It's like I'm with him in this moment of waiting. I'm connecting with God as I wait. It says in that waiting, an exchange happens, and I renew my strength. I mount up with wings like an eagle. I can run and not be weary and walk and not faint. All of that happens in the waiting. If I strive ahead and try to race in my own strength or walk in my own strength or fly in my own ability, it's like I'm just going to fall flat and I'm going to get tired. But there's in the waiting a renewal of the strength. Sometimes it's in the waiting. Sometimes it's even in the in-between moments, in the unplanned times, in the things that weren't on the schedule, not on the agenda, where something wonderful and spontaneous happens. And in those in-between times, in those gap moments, we find God doing something amazing. Number three, Selah is related to becoming quiet, to getting quiet. We're so afraid of silence sometimes. We're so afraid of it that to do it, we have to tell everybody, let's have a moment of silence. But it's there when we get quiet. And I don't just mean verbally quiet or being somewhere that's quiet. I mean quieting our hearts, quieting our anxieties, quieting our thoughts. It's there when we get quiet that we hear the still small voice of God. Psalm 46 verse 1 reads, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Goes on to say, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. It's that word again. That word be still means to sink. I think about like sinking into a big old just recliner or chair or something. A beanbag, whatever you think you can sink into this morning. It's like I'm relaxing. I'm letting go. This chair is now holding my weight. Going to be quiet. The Passion Translation of this first phrase in Psalm 46:1. I think that should be Psalm 46:10. That's a typo. I just caught that as I was looking at this here. It should be Psalm 46:10. We lost the zero there in the notes, I think. The Passion Translation says, surrender your anxiety. Be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. I heard a really great phrase one time, and I like to say it. I like to say it out loud in certain moments of my day, even just talking to myself. And here's the phrase. There is grace today to do everything God has called me to do. There's grace to do everything God has called me to do today. And if I don't get to it or it doesn't get done, the Lord had a different plan for me today. Now, I know for that's probably triggering people that are super organized in here right now, and I'm actually pretty organized. Because, you know, there's some people that don't really need to hear the message about Selah because their whole life is a Selah. I'm serious. They need to hear a message about, like, a work ethic and responsibility. You know that's true, okay? So, moving on. But there's this place that we need to, like, just pause. And the message puts it like this: step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics. I didn't put that in there. That was just in there, in the message. Above politics, above everything. It's a paraphrase, but he was like, I guess there was something really political going on when he was translating that verse. He was like, it's, you know, the message again, it's not a word-for-word translation, but it adds some color to the translations we have. Be still and know that I am God. This word know is to know personally, to know by experience, by revelation. There's moments that we only find in God when we get quiet and we let our heart just wake up to Him and commune with Him, where we let go of our anxieties, that we just let Him hold us. And related to that is number four, talking about Selah. Related to this is the concept, the truth of the Sabbath. The Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, the scripture says. The Sabbath is not Sunday. The Sabbath in the scriptures, was in the Old Covenant, and in those times, was speaking of Saturday. Speaking of Shabbat, a day of rest, a day to cease. And spiritually, it means to cease from our own works and to rest in God. But it's a day to be still, a day to have unplanned, unscheduled time to simply connect and commune with God. A Sabbath. If you can't have a whole Sabbath day, you can at least schedule some time onto your calendar where you can have rest. You can pause. I watched a TED Talk, or at least part of a TED Talk this week, about the importance of being bored. Anybody see that? It was basically saying this: when we're working hard or multitasking or moving through a tight schedule, our minds are extremely focused on the task at hand. But when we're bored or doing a mindless activity, you're folding laundry, you're doing the dishes, you're doing something that doesn't take a lot of bandwidth, what happens is your mind can begin to dream. That's where you start to become creative. There's a renewal that happens. You know, there's a reason that we dream at night when our bodies are sleeping. There's something about even daydreaming where I'm in a task, I'm in a situation where I don't have to use, like, all of my mental capacity. And that's really where you get some of your best ideas. I think about some of my good moments with God, Him speaking to me, listening in. If I'm out, like, on a run or a hike or something like that, or a walk, it's a lot of times in some of those moments that my ears, my spiritual ears, get opened to hear what the Spirit will be saying to my life. And basically, I'm just saying, if it's important to be bored in the natural realm, it's important in the spiritual realm to have a place in our life where we're paused and not to be afraid of it. You know, this week I was on a hunting trip with a couple of great brothers in the house, and Billy Aldrich and Billy Campbell, and it was a wonderful experience. I wear a Fitbit, and being out there in the woods together with these guys and just having some downtime, because hunting is a lot of hiking, but it's also a lot of waiting. And I don't want to get into anything too controversial. Because I know it's a sensitive area for folks, but we're kind. I'll just put it that way. And my Fitbit showed my resting heart rate just each day that I'm out there was dropping. It's like, it's good to have some time where you're just out of your routine. And so that was a plus. But here's the thing I want to share. Like, when I would sit, like, nestled in the woods in some little hiding spot, we were all kind of, like, spread out and tuck in somewhere, and we're waiting to see what will come by. After a few minutes of waiting there, I start to check my phone. Because AT&T worked in the woods where I was. There's like a cell tower at some forest service station or something. And I'm like, or even if I didn't want to check it, and I just wanted to be focused or even just be praying while we're out there in the woods, like a notification would come through. I would get a text from somebody. I'd be like, even if I'm trying to ignore it, it won't let me. It's like calling to me. Pick me up. Look at this notification. Something important is going on in the world, and you need to know about it right now. And I'm grateful for communication and all that. I'm not trying to be like extreme. Throw your phone away and run over it with your car and be all radical. But whatever it takes, right? If you're right, if your phone offends you, throw it off the Golden Gate Bridge or do something with it. I don't know. It shouldn't have that much of a hold on me. I'm like, just realizing while I'm out there, I should be enjoying the beautiful beauty and the rain and the woods and the company. But I keep checking my phone, and we just need to embrace. It was just like a reminder to me, I need to embrace being still. Not just physically, but putting aside the notifications and the screens. It'll all be there for you to see later. Your friends that love you aren't going to be mad when they don't get a text reply in 3.27 seconds. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You know, on the journey to Jerusalem, they would pause along the way. They would camp at night. They would eat. They would rest. It wasn't just like they were driven to get there nonstop. And the Lord was there with them in the waiting. Like, it's okay to take a break. Even race car drivers go to the pit stop. It's like there's got to be a break. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It reads in the Passion, "Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis." I am your oasis. One time the disciples came back, they're like, "Jesus, the demons were coming out, people were healed, it was awesome, man. We love all this." He said, "That is so good, you guys." He was excited, he was celebrating with them. Then he said, "Let's go aside and rest." And he pulled them aside to have a Selah. Number five, finally, Selah is related to meditation, to pondering God's truth. I want to invite the worship team to come up. Meditation. You know, Eastern meditation is all about being empty. Biblical meditation is all about being full. It's like, I'm going to take this moment, not to multitask on many things, but to focus in on the goodness of God, or on this truth of God. Psalm 1 verse 2 says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night." He's reflecting, he's pondering, he's chewing the cud. There's meditating on the truth, on the revelation that was, when it says Selah, the truth that was just sung, the truth that was just read. I'm gonna stop. And you know what? You don't need to have the word Selah there. If God is speaking to you in a moment out of the scripture, you can just pause and thank God for that verse. "Father, thank you for this verse. Wow. I don't want to move from this place. I want to just be still here for a moment. I want to meditate on this." That's why a lot of people, or some people, love to journal, because it's a time for them to just ponder what the Lord is saying to them and write out what the Lord is opening up for them. So Psalm 119 verse 48 says, "My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." So you guys, the Lord is in the waiting. And there's a way that we only know God. There's something more of God to be known in the Selah. And I'm bringing this to us today because we live in some wonderful times, some exciting times, very busy times. And it's important. It's vital, not just naturally speaking, to take a break, even though it's like so proven that strategic moments of rest and taking a break increase your productivity. But spiritually speaking, this word Selah, it has so much meaning for us to pause in his presence. To pause in his presence. I want to give you permission to do that today. Not that you need it from me, but I want you to give yourself permission to do that today, to pause in his presence. It is so weird. Look, if you feel guilty for stopping and pausing and spending time with God like you should be doing something else, you are addicted to being busy. I'm just going to say that out loud. I, as a fellow addict, I'm going to say that out loud. I feel like the Lord wants to bring, we're singing about freedom. He wants to bring a freedom into our hearts just to rest in him, to pause in his presence, and to really intentionally put this into practice. So would you just join me in prayer this morning? Just put your hand on your heart today. Father, we just come before you today. Lord, I know we've looked at these different points and they're all so related. They all fit together. Selah, to pause in your presence. I pray today, Lord Jesus, for grace over the hearts of your people in the midst of, Lord, so many great, great assignments. And Lord, even the work that you've given us is a gift. It's a precious gift. But those pauses in between are gifts as well. Lord, thank you that we get to be with you. Wait on you. To be quiet in your presence. To become still and know that you're God. We thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Meditating on your word. Having Sabbath time of rest in you. We say yes to the call this morning to come to you and be refreshed, for you are our oasis.